Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Employers, simplify your pension scheme with a Zurich Master Trust. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie.
We're inching towards a genuinely historic court case in New York now. That this indictment involves a matter of monumental significance cannot possibly be disputed. Never in the history of the United States has a sitting or past president been indicted on criminal charges. They're the words of New York Judge Juan Merchan as he prepared for the arraignment in 2 hours' time of former US President Donald Trump. In a moment, we'll have analysis from the Republican strategist Matt Klink. But first, let's go live to Manhattan Criminal Court, where Molly Crane Newman, courts correspondent with the Daily News, has been waiting patiently in line all day long. Molly, you're very welcome to the programme and thank you very much indeed for joining us. The arraignment, I believe, won't happen until just shortly after 7 p.m. Irish time, but there's an awful lot of business to take care of before then. What's the choreography of the next couple of hours?
Right, so it's about noon here now. I'm actually in the courthouse, so the line, we all got our tickets at about 8 a.m., Trump is not here yet. I've just spoken to his lawyer in the last few minutes. They're expecting to leave Trump Tower in about an hour with armed Secret Service guards. And it'll take him probably about 20, 25 minutes to get down here. At that point, he'll be booked at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, where he'll have his fingerprints taken. He'll possibly have his mugshot taken. We're not quite sure, and that would not be publicly released. And then he'll be brought up to the courtroom to enter a plea to the charges. So we're looking at about... just over 2 hours now.
All very routine for normal people, so to speak, but this is a former president, and there's a pro-Trump rally underway outside the courtroom where you are, and I've seen the video you've sent to our team, Molly. You might describe it to people. It looks absolutely crazy.
It is. It's bananas. So there's kind of a small park just across the street from the courthouse where, you know, court workers typically go and eat their lunch. So now this is completely packed to capacity. The last time I looked out, it looked like there was well over 200 people out there. I'm hearing from some of my colleagues who are reporting from outside that any kind of Trump supporters who had turned up were outnumbered by anti-Trump protesters. Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Georgia Republican who's a staunch Trump supporter, came down, and George Santos. There's been kind of rumors flying about all day that some others are going to come down, but for the moment, they're the only two. But you know, people are outside with horns and Trump flags, and there's a real mix outside, it seems, of Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters.
And hence the huge security and police presence, I suppose, outside the courtroom. I know you said, Molly, that you were given your ticket a short time ago. Now, you were the ninth in line in court. Is that right? Did you have to queue overnight to be the ninth in line?
I did. So I'll admit, I did start queuing yesterday morning, but I had two colleagues who took over for me in the night, and then I came and relieved one of them this morning. So we had a few of us staking out the line, so to speak. Some of the networks had hired people to stand in line, which has become increasingly common with some of these high profile trials. But yeah, we were ninth in line when it started yesterday, and we've had three or four reporters holding the spot over the last nearly 24 hours.
There's worldwide media interest in this, and the ramifications of the case will go on until the next presidential election, I'm sure, in the US next year. Tell me this, though. The hearing today, Mr. Trump wants it moved to Staten Island. Is that right? And he attacked the judge a short time ago.
Yes. So his lawyers have obviously, you know, he hasn't appeared in court yet, so they haven't actually filed any motions, but they have indicated that they want to have the venue changed, you know, saying that Manhattan is kind of notoriously has not voted in Trump's favor, did not in the 2016 election or in the last presidential election. And they've also said they want the case transferred to a different judge. You know, Juan Merchan, I've covered a number of cases before him. He's a very well-respected judge in this courthouse, and he has a reputation for being even-handed, and issuing very thoughtful rulings. Last night we got a ruling from him about the, you know, requests from the media. So Trump has just, in the last few hours gone after him again. You know, one of the big questions on all of our minds is the judge going to issue a gag order? You know, is that going to come up at all?
Trump be allowed to speak outside the court? Is that it?
Right. So that would ban him from talking about the case outside court.
I'm sure he'd love to, Molly.
Yeah, I'm sure he would as well. We'll have to wait and see what happens, whether prosecutors make a request, because, you know, he's also gone after the DA, Alvin Bragg, who brought this case. I reported last week that, you know, the office has been inundated with death threats and, you know, a lot of kind of racist hate mail. Trump has, you know, asked his supporters to come down here and to protest, you know, threatening death and destruction would come if he were indicted. That is something that we're going to be looking out for today to see, you know, is any of that addressed, okay, aside from the charges themselves.
Tell me this, will the case be televised, the hearing?
No. So last night, Judge Merchan turned down a request for taping of the proceedings. He is going to allow five photographers, pool photographers, to come in and take photos for a few minutes. And we're also hearing from some of Trump's lawyers that he wants to address the media. So the judge is going to allow cameras outside the courtroom when Trump is walking in and when he's coming out. Any of us who are inside will be kind of on lockdown, but there will be reporters outside as well.
Okay.
You know, there's been a lot of, I think we're going to find out what happens, you know, when he gets here, but there's been a lot of rumors and, you know, he's kind of put out there that he, you know, he said a couple of weeks back that he wants to be put in handcuffs, that he wants to be paraded in front of the media. But, you know, whether the Secret Service are going to be into that plan remains to be seen.
Okay, so it's going to be arrest, fingerprints, photo, charge, and he'll enter a plea.
Yes.
Do we know what time the mugshot will be leaked?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. We don't know what it's going to be leaked. We also don't know that it's definitely going to be taken. You know, his lawyers have said that they don't expect he will be arrested. They've also said they're not sure it will definitely be necessary for, you know, him to have his photo taken when his face is so recognizable.
Okay.
So we'll know, I'm sure, in the next several hours.
Okay. Well, look, I'll let you back to work. Molly Crane Newman from the Daily News, ninth in line for one of the court cases in US history. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. I'm joined now by veteran Republican strategist Matt Klink. Matt, you're very welcome to the program. I'm sure you're watching what is obviously, in parallel, an extremely serious case, but also a circus as well. What do you make of it all?
Well, the first part is it's not a very serious case. I mean, it's serious in that obviously it's a first, as you said. Mm-hmm. But look, Trump is facing four probes. This is by far the weakest mm-hmm. of the four. It's a case that was that the U.S. Attorney's Office declined to prosecute, that Alvin Bragg's predecessor declined to prosecute, that the Federal Elections Commission declined to prosecute, and Alvin Bragg is trying to bootstrap a state charge to a federal charge where the statute of limitations has already expired. So, I mean, it is the weakest, but what it has done is it's helped Donald Trump raise $8 million. It's vaulted him to the front of the Republican primary, and it sucked all of the oxygen out of the room for anyone who is trying to challenge Trump for that. So it's just disappointing in that it's artificially skewing the Republican primary field. That's very early, but still it's very frustrating.
I wonder then, based on what you're saying, Matt, if it's backfired. Now, and I know the criminal justice system is independent, but if you look at the whole thing with a cynical eye, you could say there are Democrat influences pushing this in order to sideline Trump. And I'm even sure Republican influences as well trying to sideline Trump. Has it all backfired, though?
Well, at least in the short term, it's succeeding in the sense that I think, look, there's no secret that Joe Biden wants to run against Donald Trump again. He believes that he's beaten him once, he can beat him again. What's happened, though, is that in an era of tribal politics in America, a number of the Republicans are backing Donald Trump, who feel that this is just unjust, that it is overtly political. I mean, Alvin Bragg campaigned on the slogan that he would, quote unquote, get Trump. So the problem, though, is that tell me an independent voter who's going to want to vote for an indicted Republican president. Or even Republican voters who are just say, oh, come on, more of the same. We're tired of this guy already. So it's, you know, it may help him right now, but in the long run, it's a losing proposition.
But am I right to say that the cohort to watch here in terms of the Republican primaries are the swing or moderate Republicans that may be swayed one way or another by this indictment?
Oh, no, absolutely. The moderate Republicans are, you know, they're going to be more pragmatic in how they view what's happening right now. And I think that they're just going to be frustrated. What will be worse is if this case is if it's either thrown out or if Alvin Bragg is not successful, because now it leaves the political realm and goes into the legal realm, and Donald Trump's attorneys will get a chance to cross-examine any witness that the government puts forward.
This is going to be crucial if he gets this gagging order, Matt, imposed on him by the judge. He's not going to get the case moved, I'm sure, but if he gets a gagging order, do you think he'll is there any way around that? Will he talk anyway?
I would be surprised if he does get a gag order. I mean, what there's already been. I mean, look, Alvin Bragg illegally, I might add, leaked portions of the summons to of the indictment to CNN, which, by the way, is also a felony. So it's not like people aren't going to be talking about this. So the gag order is really irrelevant. I mean, look, Donald Trump's going to do a rally down in Florida later this evening when he gets back after the indictment. So, I mean, he is going to use this for – he's going to milk every drop of political capital out of this as possible. And the frustrating part, again, is that there are some incredibly viable Republican candidates, both declared like Nikki Haley and undeclared like Ron DeSantis, Mike Pompeo, U.S. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, that are, I mean, they can't even get in the paper because they're not even Donald Trump.
They're not even in the tent because the circus is so big. That's the truth of it. And he's whipping up interest, let's say, because he sent an email to his supporters just a few short hours ago, and this impending. Can I read you an extract, and to our listeners as well, and you can give me your opinion on this. Donald Trump said, "Today is the day that a ruling political party arrests its leading opponent for having committed no crime. Our nation is becoming a Marxist third world country that criminalizes dissent and imprisons its political opposition. We are a nation that declared its independence from the world's biggest empire, won two world wars, and landed the first man on the moon. Resilience is in our blood. Our movement has overcome so much, and there is no doubt in my mind that we will prevail once again and win the White House in 2024.
Yeah, and therein lies the Donald Trump narrative that he uses to stir up a significant portion of the Republican base. I mean, if you look at it on its face, from the very second that Donald Trump declared for the presidency when he walked down the escalator in 2015, there has been an assault on Donald Trump with the Hillary Clinton fusion GPS study that she funded, that then all of the Russia collusion hoax, two impeachment trials that both failed. Donald Trump has campaigned on the fact that people are campaigning against him because he speaks for a significant portion of America that has been forgotten. And all of they see what's happening today is more proof to – I mean, it's probably a false premise, or it is a false premise. But they see that as proof that, again, he's one of us, not one of them, the elite.
My goodness.
And he is going to milk this for everything that it's worth. No, and it's very scary. And unfortunately, you know, look, Joe Biden is not.
Oh, I think the line is just broken. But whatever about the moral or ethical campaign or question marks, Donald Trump is certainly a supreme campaigner. The next couple of hours are going to be crucial, absolutely crucial. Matt Klink, thank you very much indeed, Republican strategist, and beforehand, Molly Crane Newman, and inside the court in Manhattan. Thank you very much indeed. After the break, is there a crisis in our secondary schools? We'll talk to the ASDI.